Welcome to More Than a Brand Podcast, where we show you how to take your brand from basic to badass. I'm your host, Lindsay Trammell Jones, the WordPress Whisperer, the Olivia Pope of Web Design, and the owner of Fiercified Creative and Consulting. I invite you to sit back, grab your favorite glass of wine, and your note takers, because I'm dropping jewels all season long. Thanks for listening. Hello, 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 everyone. I'm here with Angie M. Jordan, podcast pimp, the podcast pusher, the pod piper of podcasts. Girl, I worked on that one. And I'm here to talk to her about More Than a Brand. And Angie, please let them know, who is Angie M. Jordan without all the titles?
Without the podcast pimp title and the pushing P. Pushing P. That's what I want. Pushing P. I'm going to give me a t-shirt, pushing P. But anyway, Angie is, listen, this question is a crazy question and a hard question for somebody who is a business owner. Like, all they do is they business most of the time. I think most of my friends and my people in my life, they could describe me in one word. They'd probably say crazy, but what they mean by crazy is adventurous, just fun-loving, courageous, willing to put myself out there, down for whatever. That's kind of who I am. And I have to say that I'm like a deep, deep, deep lover, meaning I love so hard all of my people. I love my family so hard. And that is probably my core, one of my core values. Oh, remember we did that core value exercise? Do you remember doing that when we were in that group together?
Yes.
That we were just talking about?
Yeah.
See, that's a great way to define a person, is their core value. So for me, it's family, personal responsibility, and fun. And fun. That's it. Sum it up. Those are my core values, for real.
Your core values. And yeah. I've worked with you for a while now, and I see those core values in your business. How was it integrating those values into how you run your business now? Was it hard?
I think, no, because I can't help it as a person. I'm also extremely who I am and unapologetic about that. Like, I've never... You know how people talk about having imposter syndrome and, oh, I've never been in a room that I didn't think I belonged because I'm a little bit arrogant. I'm like, hey, I'm better than all these people. I can do that. I just have that about me. So for me, infusing who I am into my business and into my brand, and this is cool because I've really just been thinking about this a lot, like my brand and how I bring more, even more of myself into my brand in lots of different ways. Little things like having the same background on my videos, or like my t-shirts that I want to get made, or like the colored lipstick that I wear every time I show up, so people can really identify me through these little things, or even phrases that I might say all the time, like stuff like that. I've just been thinking a lot about it. But part of my brand that I've built very strongly, and you probably can attest to this, is just that I'm so raw and just who I am. So it has not been hard for me to incorporate those core values. And I also see those core values as more of a roadmap too for me. So now that I'm glad I identified those values, because you can now use those as like a lens for choosing what you want to do in your business. And when you know, sometimes things get convoluted and we feel confused, or we don't know what to do next, or we feel a little bit lost sometimes in our business. And I think being able to point back to those things that you know are part of your core values and saying, okay, wait, let me incorporate this. Let me think. Let me see this through the lens of what I value most. And does this support that? So that's a really long answer to that question, but there you go.
Okay. And you said it was raw and good. The other thing I wanted to, you said one of your core values was family. And mm-hmm. how has family motivated you to keep going? Because I know we know the market changes all the time. We are in a big market shift, especially as entrepreneurs. But how has family helped you to keep going?
I don't necessarily think that they have motivated me. If anything, them mofos prefer me to go get a damn job. Okay. they can understand that. And I think that's a very common thing for entrepreneurs is like, you know, your families still don't know. So my mom's, I don't think she really knows what it is still. Okay. So I wouldn't say that they necessarily motivated me. I will say I did raise my daughter. I won't say alone because my family helped me raise her, but I did it unpartnered. Mm-hmm. And part of that and having a daughter, it is a little bit of a push of like wanting to show her that you can do whatever it is that you want to do. Mm-hmm. But what I will say is that family informs some of my decision making in my business. For instance, maybe having the motivation to want to spend more time with my family, that has been the thing. So even just the fact that I started my business really came from family. It came from a lot of different factors, but I was working a lot. I was working, like I would leave the house at like 6 o'clock in the morning and I would get back at like 8 something at night most of the time because I was commuting into New York City. And my daughter was young. So that was a motivation so I could spend time with family. My dad got cancer around that same time whenever I was doing, working so hard. And I was like, I need to move home. I need to like regroup. I want to spend time with family. So certain ways it's like shaped what I do in my business. That makes sense.
I think it's interesting that you said sometimes your mom don't really understand what podcast is. I would say for me personally, with growing up, I grew up in the South. So I grew up in North Carolina. You go to college, you get a good job, you work twice as hard, you do all these things. And then at some point, I realized I felt like it was all a scam. Like I went to college, I got all the degrees, all the accolades, but I'm working to make somebody else rich while they take up all my time. If you checked all the blocks, why are you just not happy with what you got? You're living the dream. I guess that would be the best way to say it. That's what we work so hard for.
Yeah. So I think you're right. It's like you're building a dream for someone else and you have this realization that you if you're going to be out here doing all this work and building a dream for somebody else, why not build it for yourself? And it's really, really hard. And I'm the same. I grew up in the South. And I tell people this all the time. One of the best things I ever did for my daughter was to move. And we moved to Jersey. And when I grew up, I thought, okay, you go to school, you get this job, you become a teacher, or you become a nurse, or if you're really lucky, you can like be a doctor or a lawyer, and that's it. And you get married, and your husband is like the doctor or the lawyer, or where I'm from, they work at the chemical plant, and they make good money. And so that's all that I saw, and all that I could aspire to was what I saw, which was you make 60 grand and that's a good living and that's what you do. So coming from that, and I always felt like I didn't belong there because I just felt like, I don't know, I don't want to say like I was bigger than that. I just had more aspirations than that. And so when I moved, it was crazy. My friend's husband's bonuses were my yearly salary. I was like, oh, wait, these real rich people, like these people making $100,000 a year, ain't real rich people. These people who is up here up in the Northeast, who living right, you know, in the suburbs of New York City, who driving around a little Honda Civics are like multimillionaires. Like, they got money. So it just opened up new things for me in the way, and for my daughter, which I've been so happy about, that she actually sees that there's bigger things there. But I remember when I started doing life coaching online, it was right before I was doing podcasts. just remember my family just like, when are you going to get a fucking job? Listen, I'm telling y'all, and my brother is the only one who believed in me in the sense that he was like, I don't know what you're going to end up doing, but I know you're going to be successful. And I was like, thanks. And at the time when he told me that, I felt so lost. Like, I just didn't know what I wanted, but I just knew that it wasn't just this normal 9 to 5. And I just knew. And when I started, something else that I tell people all the time who are scared to put themselves out there because of their family, block them. Block them bitches. My grandpa blocked, my uncle blocked. I blocked my daddy was blocked because I know you in real life. What do I need you on my Facebook for? Because he said, made a comment about me cursing on Facebook and talking dirty. I was like, okay, block. I don't need you to see my Facebook posts. My mama too, she blocked on my Instagram still. I got blocked up. Because for what? I don't need it. I reach out and talk to them and FaceTime them almost every day. So, you know, a lot of people are let that be something that holds them back about what their family is going to think about them. And I've just gotten, and my family has just gotten so used to it. They're going to get used to it. They're going to get used to your black sheepness and your like refusal to do the same things as what everybody else is doing. They eventually get used to it. Like nothing I could do will surprise them, just like how I got married. And it was like, we went to the courthouse and we were like, hey, y'all, guess what we did? And no one in my family said a word except why you did it. Like, you shouldn't do that. My sister, my brother was like, girl, do you know what you did? Because they've been married a long time. But nobody was surprised. Nobody was shocked because that's just how I've lived my life. You know, like, I just, nobody's surprised that Angie just does whatever. Nobody.
But I think it's hilarious. You said block them bitches. I was muted when you said it. I was like, soundbite, block them bitches. If you want to, maybe that should be the name of this podcast.
Block the bitches. Your grandma, your grandpa, your mama, your daddy, it don't matter. They can all catch that swift block.
Yes. And it's not hard feelings. It's just, y'all not my audience anyway.
You about to buy my shit. And you know what? And I don't need that, especially when you're starting out. Mm-hmm. You just don't need that. Like, it affects you so deeply. Any negativity that you get really affects you. See, now I wouldn't even care, and I don't care. But when you're first starting something new and you're putting yourself out there, any little thing, like if it's a troll comment, if it's, you know, something from your family, like somebody, my cousin commented on my post about podcasting where I'm like doing a call to action to come and work with me. He was like, why would anybody pay anybody to help them start a podcast? You could just Google it. Block. Even block him. I let it sit there and I let my friends tore him up in the comments. Everybody like tore his ass up. And I was like, relax, y'all. They're my people. But still, he was wrong and he got his ass tore up in the comments. And then he caught that block. But yeah, that if that was when I first started, that would have felt really hard for mm-hmm. me, you know? And I know you can relate to that because it's like really scary to put yourself out there when you're starting.
Hey, if you are enjoying our show, please hit that subscribe button or hop on over to LinkedIn and follow me at Lindsay Tramell Jones, Brand Identity Designer. That's where I share tips, more insight on branding, and why it's so important as a DEI organization to ensure that your brand is up to par. Okay, that's it. Enjoy the rest of the episode.
And so any of that negative shit, that's like on TikTok. Wait, I got to tell this story. I have to tell this story. So the other night I got like a little bit tipsy and a little bit, you know, was gardening. That's what they call it on TikTok. Mm-hmm. That's getting high. And so I was in there and I just was going on these rants on my fucking TikTok page. And I saved all these drafts that are literally just rants. But one of the things I told a story, and it was when I first started out on TikTok. I made this TikTok and the TikTok said, I don't know why I'm not like TikTok famous yet, because I'm so cute and I'm so like cool. Like I'm cuter and cooler than everybody else. So why am I not famous? Girl, they sew me up. They tore me up. They were stitching that video. I was like, felt like I, and they were just like, this is what's wrong. You know, it's black women. Black women is mean. And so black women was on there, especially to some a little light skinned, you know, curly haired girl saying that she was pretty, prettier than other people. And you know, oh, you get my humor. Like, just like fucking around. And girl, they tore my ass up. And you know what I did? Deleted that video. Deleted the fucking, all the, blocked the people that stitched me, like went into a fucking hermit hole and never came back. Like, I was like, oh no, this shit hit. Mm-mm. No, no, ma'am. That shit scared me.
Yeah.
And I thought you would appreciate that story. I was just giggling about it the other night. I was like, I swiftly hit that delete and went into hiding.
And did a pivot. This ain't it.
I was like, no, no, no. I stepped in something I was not ready for. And I still am not. Like, whew, the people, especially on like TikTok, YouTube, they be nasty. They get nasty. So, you know, it comes with it.
Yeah. And you live and you learn. I think it's so challenging parts that make us better, not just people, but better entrepreneurs. I started out light and airy, like tool dress in the park. I don't even like being outside.
It was the equivalent to the like white lady coach with the big hat and the like the boots.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta wear the big rimmed hat
with the big,
and that's how you and you're
spice.
Like,
I don't even drink pumpkin spice.
I was about to say, and you got and your bio is like Target, Jesus, and you know, whatever. Yes.
That's how I started out. Light, airy, tulle dress, holding I was in like a rose garden, holding a rose in my Brandon photos. Everything was really, really light and white. And it just, I felt like I had to not be myself to fit into that persona that I had created on Instagram. I was specifically on Instagram. That's when I was doing wedding invitations. And Kansas City, I was in Kansas City that time. And Kansas City has a big wedding industry. I guess people in the Midwest just like to get married.
They ain't got shit else to do. You got to go get married. That's like in the South too. They like that too. They ain't got shit to do. You go get married.
Go get married. You have a big wedding. But
that's what you do.
I had gotten to the point where people in Kansas City would call me by my Instagram name. But I'm not like that person you just saw. So what was the name?
What was the name?
Mm-hmm. Organized Chaos. That was the name of my business.
Oh, okay, okay, okay.
And it was like, you're Organized Chaos. And I was like, yeah, but I'm not in nothing tool. I'm like in the head.
But I'm not that.
That's me, but that's not me, girl. I'm sorry. So I felt like I was catfishing people. So I applaud you for always being as authentic as you have been, not having imposter syndrome, not feeling like you need to dim the Angie Jordan light, because I think that's what helps people stay in the game regardless of the market shifts. People know what to expect.
Yeah. And I will say, I feel like incredibly blessed. And I would say lucky, but I won't say lucky because I've done a lot of work on myself in general. So it's not just like I woke up one day and was just fearless. It was, I worked to get to this place. It's kind of like you go through your lowest lows. And I did in my, I don't know, late teens, early 20s. Like my transition from being a teenager to like trying to grow up was really, really rough. And I went through some really low lows of like stuff I don't want to talk about because then we have to put trigger warnings on here. But coming from something so low, and I literally put intentional effort into digging myself out of that hole, nothing feels that heavy as that place that I used to be. So, like, mm-hmm. that's also why nothing is, like, a big deal to me. I'm like, whatever. Like, because I intentionally, like, I was in such a low fucking place that I, like, nothing compares to that. So, like, somebody not liking what I'm talking about online is just so minuscule of a thing for me because I've been through tough things. So I think that has a lot to do with it, is just going through those tough things, like, build a lot of resilience. Mm. And especially when you were an active participant in getting yourself out of those tough things. Yeah. You know, it's not just like I just went through them, but I had to actively work at it. And so, yeah, it's not by luck or chance that I've become the way that I am. It's because of my story and where I came from, which, by the way, I mean, I had a pretty, like, kick-ass upbringing and childhood. Like, I got great parents, great family. Like, there's things that I've also gone through too, but
yeah.
I don't want to paint a picture like I was like,
get out of the mud.
Like it wasn't, I ain't come from nothing. And my daddy came from nothing, but I didn't come from nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But anyhow, so yeah, it's not just luck. I really have worked on that. And the other thing I will say is what you just said about how it enables you to stay in the game. You're absolutely right. Like, being yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the thing that's irreplaceable, and that's the thing that differentiates you, and it's also the thing that, like, can you imagine trying to pretend your way through this?
I was trying, and it was hard. It was so ridiculous. Like, I would do stuff on my lunch. I'll go live on lunch since I'm still active duty. I would go in my office, change out of my uniform because I don't want nobody to think I'm just jump up and deploy on them. Try to get myself together so I look like Miss Light and Airy that they see on Instagram. And then do the thing and then change back into it. It was a mess. I was like, this is too much. And if y'all don't like it, I got to a point where I was like, if they don't like it, you're not for me. It's okay.
Yeah. And it becomes such a, entrepreneurship and having a business becomes such a large part of your life that if you are trying to separate that, it just doesn't work when you're a solopreneur, entrepreneur. Now, maybe if you grow past a certain point and mm-hmm. you can really separate yourself from your brand. But what I also want to point out that I think marketing in general is really, really, I think this year, next year, it's gonna be really even more important, your brand and you. That's what makes you different. Because you know what? When I started doing this podcast business, there wasn't hardly anybody else. There definitely wasn't any Black women, like hardly, you know what I mean? Like, I could count on a hand how many. And now they're everywhere. Which is annoying to me, but whatever. I'm the best, you know?
Yeah.
So that's my attitude. But my thing is that part of what differentiates Angie, she does podcast marketing, helps people produce their podcasts, whatever, from Susie Q over here. Susie Q is lame, boring, whatever, trying to pretend to be somebody else or not really using all of herself into her brand. It's just very blah. And then you got Angie over here that's like, in your face, and you resonate with me. This is why I never have bad fit clients. Never. I see mm-hmm. people with, like, horror stories about clients that are, like, bad fits and that were nightmares. And I'm like, I don't have that. But mm-hmm. it's because the people who choose to work with me largely in part because of me and because of, like, who I am and how I am. And they resonate with that. And we get along, like, we sitting up here talking and we on the same wavelength. And I'm not pretending. I didn't try to take cursing out of my brand because people were like, well, you're going to repel some people. Good. Because we're going to be on a fucking call and I'm going to be saying fucking call and I'm going to be cursing. And like, and then that person's going to be like, whoa. And I'm like, are they going to be like, please don't say that. And I'm like, no, I got to sit on this call and I can't even talk how I normally talk. You know, like that's why people get incongruent clients is because they're not being who they're not showing who they are. And so they're attracting all these people that they don't want because they're not being fully themselves. Their brand is giving off something different. So I think branding, which this is hilarious coming from me because I've never cared about a brand. I've never gotten like branding done.
We've talked about that.
I ain't never had nobody do my website. I just throw shit up there, but I do have a very distinct brand. Mm-hmm. And it comes from without me doing a logo. Like it ain't come from that. It came from me being who I am, the way that I speak, the way that I show up. And yeah, now I want to kind of double down on that with some more visual elements. But my brand came from me being naturally who I am, which is super interesting to me, is that, and I know that you'll love this conversation, but regardless, like you have a brand regardless. You have a brand voice regardless of whether you are intentionally building it or unintentionally building it. You still got one.
Yep. And people still see it. So it's up before you get all the pretty stuff done. I always tell people, don't start out with pretty stuff because you're going to end up wasting somebody's time. By the time you start the pretty stuff and end it, you don't
you can be a different person.
In the middle, you don't change the person. You don't change who you are. So don't start with the nice stuff, the pretty stuff. I love the, of course, I love all the visuals, but it's the last.
Yeah, because you have to figure out. Yeah. And I think people forget that part of their brand is like they forget that they are. Like the brand is an expression of their values and who they are and how they want to be perceived. And so that has like your content is really that, you know, how you speak, how you show up. You like being on video. You like being on podcasts. Like how do you I have some clients who are more formal. And so in their podcast, I treat it more formal. I edit out more stuff. Close gaps up. I don't let them have these ums and all this other shit because that's what they like. And they have a more buttoned up formal brand than someone who's like me, who part of my brand would be showing up and not editing anything at all. Like nobody would be surprised. I burped once in a podcast and left it in. And people appreciate that kind of shit from me, from my like that's on brand for me. You're like, I just burped and I was like, sorry.
Excuse me, y'all.
My bad. And it's funny and it gets people's attention because I'm a fucking podcast person, but like I'll be the first to not have perfect audio and not like and leave a burp in my audio or be like, hey, I recorded this from my bed, from my phone, y'all. Like, and it just attracted people because they were just like, it was different because a lot of people you see, Lord, since I've been on this TikTok, I've been seeing some like podcast people and they're just so put together and their videos look so good. And it's like, how do you get the best sound quality and video set up? And it just ain't me. It's cool. I look at it. I'm like, oh, that's cool. But is it Angie? I'm going to say, here, look, go record this shit in your closet and let's keep it moving.
Yes. Can we get this done? That's me. Can we just get it done? Record all my podcast episodes besides this one have been recorded in my closet. I'm actually coming out of my shell.
Yes. You coming out your closet with
me? Coming out the closet with you.
I like it. I like it. It's a safe place. It's a safe space. Come out the closet. Come out the closet. I'm so proud of you.
Coming on out. So if this one will be all right. This is the first one. I'm excited. I'm glad you were my first one to come out the closet with.
Yay. I know. Because we done been through some ups and downs with this recording already.
Yes. We already with you. Barely. I'll do a real.
We barely made it. We're gonna have to do a lot of editing with this one.
Yes. But I'll do a real outtake so y'all can see what we was dealing with. But my one last question that I wanna ask you. Do you think young 10-year-old Angie is proud of where you are today?
Oh yeah. Absolutely. And if I think about young 10-year-old Angie, okay, my daughter is in college. She's 20 years old. She's a sophomore in college. This girl spends so much time. She's so opposite of me. She's very like logical, thinks things through. Like she's not a follower. She's not like if these girls are going out and getting drunk and, you know, whatever, she's going to be like, if I go and do that, then this might happen and that is not going to be good. So I'm not going to do that. She's very methodical. And she tells me all the time, because I'm just like, she's like, oh, this class, you know, I'm struggling, blah, 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 because she got to, you know, make her 4.0 and whatever. And I'm like, and I'll try to give her advice. And she's like, you don't understand. You graduated college with 2.4. I sure did. I barely made it. And look, she'll tell me that. But I said that to say is that in contrast, like she's very methodical. This is what I have never, ever, ever given thought to my path or what's going to happen 10 steps ahead of what I'm doing right now. Never in my life have I done that. So 10-year-old Angie ain't give a fuck. 10-year-old Angie, what was I worried about? What grade are you in 10? Fifth grade?
Yeah.
10-year-old Angie was going to school with mismatched shoes on because my mama got me mismatched shoes because we got them from Walmart and the shoes was in the box. You know, they just be out on display. And we bought them, and I didn't realize till I had them on that they was Reeboks. One of them stripe had one little bit of pink color, and the other one didn't. It was white. So there was two different shoes. And I went to school all year with the fuck shoes because my mama was like, this that's what 10-year-old Angie was doing. 10-year-old Angie was on the playground. 10-year-old Angie was the only black girl in an all-white school. And they had a black guy who came to the school that year in fifth grade, and everybody thought we should date. So 10-year-old Angie was dating guys. One recess, I said yes to be his girlfriend. And then second recess, I broke up with him.
Just because he was the black guy.
Just because we was both black. We was only black people. And it was like,
y'all got to be together.
And he was funky. He was funky. He was so funky. And I just like, anyway. That's what 10-year-old Angie was doing. She was not dreaming up anything. And I will even say fucking 20-year-old Angie wasn't dreaming up nothing. Like, I was just such a in-the-moment person. And it's actually served me really well in a lot of ways. I mean, I wish I'd have been more planful in my life, 100%. I wish I would have thought about something. Like, when I was in college, the way I picked my major, I was like, okay, what? I literally, this back when you had the little catalog, actual one, not online, you open it up and you're like looking at what the requirements are for each major. I literally went through that damn catalog to find majors that I did not have to do advanced math, I did not have to do public speaking, and I didn't have to do advanced sciences. And that's how I picked my major, apparel design. That's how I picked it. I said, oh, that look good, I'm gonna do that. That's how I picked it. I should have had a little bit more thought into college and like what I wanted to do and all of that, but I didn't. And it served me really well because it has allowed me to be free and to be courageous and to just be adventurous and be like, you know, fuck it, let me try this. Let me do this. Let's do this. You know, and so I got a lot of experience doing a lot of different things, which led me to where I am. And listen, doesn't that sound like an entrepreneur's journey?
Yes, it does.
Because you have to do so many different things and you can't be rigid. you can't be rigid. You can't make plans. You can, but you have to be able to adapt and grow and try different things. And, you know, that's when you're marketing yourself. Like, it's not, you can't be like, my daughter would probably be a terrible entrepreneur. She needs the, like she would be like, wow, what is this? Yeah. It just lent myself to being an entrepreneur because I've always just been able to like move and shake. But yeah, I'm proud. 41-year-old Angie is proud of 41-year-old Angie because like I just, and I say this a lot and I journal this a lot, is just like, thank you. Like, thank you for being so brave and thank you for being so courageous and thank you for being able to show up. And I get up and I look out of the fucking window at this beautiful view in this high-rise, beautiful apartment that I live in now. And I'm just like, I remember coming to New York when I was for 9/11. I was just in awe and I fell in love with the city. And now when I wake up, I see the fucking Statue of Liberty every morning in the sunrise. I'm like, wait, what happened? Like, what happened? And so, yes, like I am grateful. And I think 10-year-old Angie would be just fine. Mm-hmm. She's not dating the stinky boy in class.
She's dating the black boy by default.
Oh my God. Good times. Good times.
Yes. So Angie, tell us where they can find you at on socials. I know you're on TikTok. What's your TikTok?
Oh, I am Angie M as in Marie Jordan everywhere. So anywhere, everywhere. LinkedIn, born ass LinkedIn, TikTok, Facebook, Instagram. But come to my podcast that pays. Come and listen to me talk my shit. And yeah, that's it. Come and hang out. But TikTok, unless the shit gets shut down, come over there and play with me because I've been having so much fun and I've been really ranty and hopefully nobody starts stitching me and talking about me because I'm going to have to shut it down again. I'm going to message you first. I'm going to be like, Lindsay, they stitched
they
me
got
again.
Me.
They got me.
They got me.
They talk about me.
They got me. Give me off TikTok.
They got me.
Thank you for your time, Angie. I really appreciate it. I appreciate you being my first one to come out the closet.
Yay. I'm so excited.
And y'all listen to the next episode of More Than a Brand.
Hey, I hope you enjoyed this episode as much as I did. Remember, hit that subscribe button so you can stay up to date with the new upcoming episodes. And if you want to, find us on social media at fiercified.agency on Instagram or find us on Facebook at Fiercified Creative and Consultant. Send me a DM. Let me know what you think. I would love to hear your input.